1 Kings chapter 10, I want to draw your attention to some verses that we read together. Perhaps we could just read the latter part of verse 7. Verse 7, the Queen of Sheba is speaking here concerning her glimpse of the King Solomon. And she said, "The half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." Born in the 13th century in Venice, Marco Polo was a very keen traveller indeed. He was raised by a wealthy merchant family, and from an early age there was something deep within the life of Marco Polo that he felt that life was to be explored and not to be endured. In his late teens, his desires, they came to fruition, and his family, they decided they would go on an expedition and they would leave the shores of Venice and travel to the land of Asia. As he travelled to Asia, he kept a very detailed diary, and it's still known today as the Travels of Marco Polo. As he travelled Asia, Marco Polo, he absorbed the sights, the smells of Asia, and indeed of every country within it. His account of the Orient, it provided the very first insight the Western world had into the ethnicity, society and geography of all that we know that is modern day Asia. Now, whilst Marco Polo was in Asia, he met a man named Kublai Khan, who was a Mongolian prince at that time. Marco Polo was very privileged because he served as this man's consort and advisor in the court. And during his travels of Asia, he amassed a tremendous wealth and a tremendous fortune. He also travelled 15,000 miles as he travelled through the shores of Asia before he eventually headed back home to Venice. But when he returned to Venice in his 40s after many years of travelling, Venice was at war with the Republic of Genoa. As a result, Marco Polo was seized and placed in jail. By now, his travels were well known. They were well documented. Everybody was talking about the travels of Marco Polo. Everybody had heard the tales of the Orient that he had told. And in jail, he was actually deemed a liar. And he was told to recant. He was told to turn back and to deny all the stories that he had told of Asia. However, in jail, as he was asked to deny all the wonders and all the splendors that he saw, his response was simply, "I have not told the half of what I saw." And in this chapter, we have a similar response from a curious traveller. We find the Queen of Sheba, she had heard the fame and fortune, not of a country, but indeed of a king. She had heard the fame and fortune of Solomon, and she decided she would leave her home in Sheba and go and find out for herself. Whenever she made the long journey to Solomon's house and Solomon's temple, and she surveyed all of the king and his palace and his people, his wealth, his wisdom, and indeed all of his splendor, her response was the words of verse 7, "The half was not told me." She made the long journey to the king, and what she found as she beheld King Solomon was greater than she ever could have imagined. And in Christ are greater than Solomon. Whilst there is salvation to be found, there are also surprises to be found. Surprises in the sense that whenever you trust in him and you take him as your saviour, you will be surprised at how tremendous, how glorious, how splendorous he appears to you. You will be surprised in the sense that he will far outweigh your expectations. And whenever you come to Christ, your response will be like the Queen of Sheba. "Oh, the half was not told me. Oh, I had heard the report, yes, but whenever I saw for myself, the half was not told me. I certainly wasn't disappointed." Indeed, in Luke chapter 2, you read of a man named Simeon who was waiting upon the birth of the Messiah. One day he was in the temple. It was just a regular, average, run-of-the-mill, ordinary day. And all of a sudden, Mary and Joseph walked into the temple, and there they were carrying the Lord Jesus Christ. And Simeon, that old man, that just man, that devout man, he took up the Lord Jesus Christ and he blessed him in his arms. We then read, after beholding the Lord Jesus Christ, he said in Luke 2, verses 29 and 30, Now lettest thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And he had been waiting upon the Messiah for many, many a year, and probably many, many a decade. And whenever he lifted the Messiah up and he embraced the Messiah in his arms, he was so overjoyed with what he had seen and what he had felt that he said he was ready to die. And with Christ there is only delight. There are no disappointments. And whenever you turn from your sin and you make the long journey, as it were, to the cross at Calvary, oh my friend, you'll not be disappointed. Whenever you behold Christ, the greater than Solomon, the one who's pictured here in this chapter, in 1 Kings chapter 10, my friend, you'll not be disappointed. You'll not be disappointed. There are no disappointments with the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, your response will be like the Queen of Sheba. The half was not told me. Oh yes, I had heard the report. I had heard his fame. I had heard his testimony. But the half wasn't told me. Oh, the half wasn't told me. And so tonight I want to draw your attention to the Queen of Sheba beholding Solomon. The Queen of Sheba beholding Solomon. I want you to notice firstly here the information she heard. Verse 1, we read, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. The writer here tells us that she had heard of the fame of Solomon. Solomon was the third king of Israel after the reign of David, his father, and also the reign of King Saul. And under King Solomon, the children of Israel, they grew and they prospered. Israel flourished in many, many different ways. They flourished economically. They flourished territorially. They flourished politically, all under the reign of the wise King Solomon. Now, we are told here that Solomon was known for his wisdom. Verse 4, we read that when the woman came, that she saw Solomon's wisdom. And under the wise counsel and prudent counsel of Solomon, the nation of Israel flourished. Let's put it in this turn, in this way. Israel became the America of its time. What I mean by that is everybody wanted a piece of her. Everybody wanted to trade with Israel. Traders would come and they would port and dock in Israel, and then they would be absolutely astounded at the produce that they purchased, and they would take a good report back home with them. And so she heard of all of the wonderful wealth and all of the wonderful wisdom of Solomon, but she also heard of his worship, because we're told here in verse 1 that she had heard his fame concerning the name of the Lord. Solomon, he built a permanent house for the worship of God, and he had honored the Lord in this. And so the Queen of Sheba, as she had heard a good report concerning this king, she had heard of his wealth, she had heard of his wisdom, she had heard of his worship, and so that was enough. She said, I've had enough, I'm packing my bags, I'm going to see what this king is like for myself. And in Solomon here, we have a picture of Christ. Just as she beheld the wisdom, the wealth of Solomon, so in Christ there is spiritual wealth and spiritual wisdom. And he also is the one who is due your worship. Maybe like the Queen of Sheba, this is what's beginning to occur in your life. You're hearing a good report concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You're hearing about how wise he is. Hearing about how rich he is. Hearing about the riches that are to be found in trusting Christ. And perhaps now, like the Queen of Sheba, you're, as it were, you're packing the bags of sin. And you want to come and see for yourself. You know, you're not the only person who was exhorted to come and see. In fact, in John chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ, he went into the city of Bethsaida. And there he found a young man by the name of Philip. And whenever he found Philip, he drew Philip to himself. He saved Philip. Then Philip went and he found a companion of his, Nathanael. And whenever he went to find Nathanael, he said in John chapter 1, verses 45 and 46, he said, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Jesus." Nathanael responded to him, verse 46. Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, Come and see. And he essentially said to Nathanael, Oh, we have found the wise coming Messiah that was prophesied in the Old Testament. And he turned round and he said to Nathanael, Come and see for yourself. And Nathanael, hearing of the wisdom of Christ and the beauty of Christ, he eventually went and he eventually saw for himself. And in hearing Christ explained, you must then experience and encounter him. Like Nathanael, like Philip, and especially like the Queen of Sheba, you are to come and see for yourself. Oh, tonight you've heard many a good report. You've heard it privately from friends. You've heard it publicly from this pulpit. You've heard of the wisdom he gives. You've heard of the wealth he gives. You've heard of his peace, his pardon, his promises, his pledges. And I say to you that it's up now to you this evening. It's up for you, up to you to come and see for yourself. Oh, it's not enough just to hear the report. Christ must be encountered. Christ must be experienced personally. And I wonder, will you do that this evening? Will you make the journey with the Queen of Sheba? Will you come and see for yourself? You know, in life, we trust the reviews of others all the time. Sometimes, you know, someone, they come to you and they talk about the great car that they've just bought, maybe the great microwave they've just bought, the great holiday they've just been on. Maybe they've eaten in a good restaurant, they've had a good walk. And we trust the report, we trust the recommendation on these things. And yet tonight there's a far greater report, there's a far greater recommendation given to you. Tonight you're hearing about the eternal Son of God. And I say to you again, it's up to you to come and see for yourself. Oh, come and see, come like the Queen of Sheba. Leave all that's behind and come and see for yourself. The information she heard. I want you to notice secondly here, the interest she had. Verse 1, we read of this interest. We read, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. I want you to notice how this lady's described. She's described as the Queen of Sheba. Now, Sheba was located in the southwest of the Arabian Peninsula. It would have taken approximately a 1,000-mile journey to travel from Sheba to Jerusalem. Verse 2, we're told that a train accompanied her along with camels and spices. And the word train here, it simply refers to an armed guard. Remember, this was the queen of a district. She was a very important lady, and so she came with an armed envoy to Jerusalem. She was obviously a very important lady, as we see how well protected she was as she travelled to Jerusalem. Now here's a lady, and she's a queen. She has many important engagements, she has many important involvements, she has many responsibilities, many things she needs to attend to. But whenever she hears the report, she hears of the fame, the wisdom, the wealth of Solomon. She leaves all. She leaves all of these necessary things that she needed to attend to. And she came and saw the beauty of Solomon for herself. And whilst the things of life are important, Christ has all importance. The most important person, matter, issue in life is what you think of and what you do with Christ. And just like the Queen of Sheba, like the Queen of the South, there are issues in life you need to attend to. And I'm not detracting from that. There are material issues, there are life issues, perhaps money issues, there are health issues, there are family issues. Yes, there are these things that crowd and clamour for our attention. But be like the Queen of Sheba. There was something that was of far greater importance than the issues she had to attend to, and that was to behold the King. And I say to you this evening, push all of these matters aside, all of your worries, all of your wants, all of your anxieties, and come and behold the wise and wealthy King. Come and see for yourself. See for yourself what he's like altogether. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke on, he commended this woman himself. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 42, he used her as an example as he addressed a crowd. And we read there, that the Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it. And why will she condemn the generation Christ was speaking to? Well, he gives the answer in the rest of the verse. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And Christ, he used this woman as an example. And he was addressing people in his time. And he said, look at the Queen of Sheba. She left from the uttermost parts of the earth to behold an earthly king. And yet he went on to say to that crowd and to make the point to that crowd that there's a far greater here. I am here. He was speaking of himself. There's a far greater than Solomon here. Now make the effort. Make the effort and come to me. And he was essentially condemning them for their lack of interest in himself. And we are not to be interested in the kings of earth. We are to have interest in the King of heaven. Christ is the greater than Solomon. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And I say to you to take the Queen of Sheba as a good example. And if you're not yet saved, push all of the other things, all of the other material matters in life, put them all to one side and do business with the King. Make it your purpose, make it your priority to behold him as your Saviour. Oh, tonight you would offer excuses. You would offer Christ your excuses. And yet he says to you, push them aside. You would offer to him family matters and life matters. And he says to you, push them aside. Come to me and trust me and behold my glory. You know, there was a wee boy and he went to the shop and he bought a dozen of eggs. Walking out of the store, he had his worst nightmare. He tripped on the curb and the eggs, they fell out onto the pavement and they were completely shattered. He was quite young. He tried to put on a brave face. He didn't cry. But he stood there just flabbergasted and he didn't really know what to do. There was a bit of a crowd beginning to gather and they were all kind of looking at him, not really knowing what to do. They offered their condolences. They said how sorry they were. And in the middle of this, a man pushed through the crowd and he walked up to the wee heart-stricken lad and he gave him £2 to buy another dozen of eggs. Then he turned to the group and he said, I care £2 worth. How much do the rest of you care? And the question tonight is, how much do you care? Or do you have the interest of the Queen of Sheba, as she pushed all things to the side? Do you have the interest, just like as she did, will you leave all the other matters, and when you behold the King, the information she heard, the interest she had, I want you to notice thirdly here the items she beheld. Verses 4 and 5, we read the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the maid of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of God. Whenever she arrived in Jerusalem, boys, what a sight she beheld. She saw the beautiful temple that Solomon had built and She also got an inside glimpse into the own house, his own house that Solomon had built as well. And she saw how she catered for the many hundreds of servants and cupbearers that he had. 1 Kings 4 verse 22 tells us what he fed his servants every day. We read there 30 measures of fine flour, 80 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen, 20 oxen out of the pastures, 100 sheep, beside harts and roebucks, and fallow deer, and fatted fowl. You listen to that list, and it almost flabbergasts your mind. That was what he had slain and prepared all in one day. And so his servants, they were catered for, but he also clothed his servants. Even the very lowest of his servants were clothed in the finest of apparel, as verse 5 intimates. Also, mention is made here not only of the catering of his servants and the clothing of his servants, but of the great climb that Solomon made to the house of the Lord. As she beheld this journey that he made to the temple, She would have saw the daily sacrifices that were made there. And although she had heard of the fame of Solomon, and she had heard of his wealth, and she had heard of the good report, and she had heard of his wisdom, she witnessed far more than she could ever have imagined. And there as she stood, and she beheld his palace, beheld his people, beheld how they were catered for and how they were clothed, and beheld even their provision day by day. Boy, she experienced and she saw more than she ever could have imagined. And in Christ there is spiritual prosperity, not spiritual poverty. Through his atoning sacrifice on the cross, there flows to you all of the spiritual riches that he has bought for you with his own blood. Now you take these riches that the woman beheld as she beheld Solomon. Take for example the palace. What a place it was to behold. And yet I say to you that in Christ there is that palace, there is that place that is prepared for you. Think even, O God, of how she beheld his people, the people of Solomon, how they were clothed. And yet I say to you that in Christ, the greater than Solomon, there is righteousness that is available to you. He can provide that covering for your sin. You think even of the provision that Solomon made for his servants day by day, and the how their need was catered for. And yet I say that to you this evening that Christ, the greater than Solomon, he offers the opportunity to enjoy all and far more than this. Oh, as Solomon, as he gave those wonderful earthly blessings, so when you trust in Christ, you will receive spiritual blessings, spiritual riches that no man on earth can give you. In encouraging unbelievers to call upon the Lord, we read in Romans 10, verse 12, that there is no difference between Jew and the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. And we read there very simply that whenever we call on the Lord, we're told he is rich. He's rich unto all. And in Christ there is not rags but riches. And through his adoption you will enter into the inheritance that he has promised for you. Oh, what wonderful riches are laid up in store for you in heaven. You think of a place in the palace. You think of provision from the palace. You think of the robe of his righteousness. Oh, what wonderful riches you can enjoy this evening. Would you not love to enjoy a home in heaven? Would you not love to enjoy the clothing, as it were, for your sin? Would you not love to enjoy spiritual provision every day? Well, the Lord Jesus, he extends all of these to you this evening. But like we were considering in Romans 10, verse 12, you must call upon him. You know, knowing that this time was coming to an end, American politician Patrick Henry, he gave all of his property as his inheritance to his children. He then stated, "There's one more thing I wish I could give them, and that's faith in Jesus Christ. If they had that and I hadn't given them a single shilling, they would have been rich. And yet if they didn't have that and I'd given them everything, they would be poor indeed." And oh, what riches are available for you this evening. What spiritual riches. A home in heaven, clothing for your sin, peace with the King. And he wants you to come. He wants you to call upon him for these things. Oh, the information she heard, the interest she had, the items she beheld. But notice lastly here with me, the intelligence she explored. Verses 3 and 4, we read that Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the king, queen of Sheba, had seen all Solomon's wisdom. Solomon was known for his wealth, but he was also known for his wisdom. And in verse 1, you find the queen of Sheba, she came to Solomon and she proved him with hard questions. The verb prove here in the Hebrew, it means to test the quality of something through the application of stress. And here we find the queen, she's putting the pressure on Solomon, she's applying stress on him to see his quality. And here, this woman, she was proving him to see exactly who he was. She had many questions for Solomon, and some undoubtedly were relating to spiritual matters. Verse 2, we find she communed with him all that was in her heart. And she found that whenever she asked Solomon question after question, as the avalanche of questions as they poured forth, Solomon had the answer to every single one of them. Oh, Solomon, he had the answer to all of her questions. And in Christ there is wealth, but there's also wisdom. As he knows all things, so he has and is the answer to all of life's problems. And yes, tonight you've come, and perhaps you have questions. There are difficult questions that you have that you need answered. You have proving questions. You have probing questions. Questions about your yesterday. Questions about your tomorrow. Well, I suggest to you that when you put Christ to the test, you will find he will answer every single one of your questions. As you prove him and as you probe him, you will find Christ being all wise, he will meet all of your need. In Colossians 2, verse 3, speaking of Christ, we read, Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And here Christ, he is explained and described as a treasure chest of wisdom and knowledge. And with all of your worries, Christ, he gives wisdom. And with all of your questions, Christ provides answers. He will provide the answer as there is found in him a literal treasure chest of wisdom and knowledge. Oh, tonight you've come and you have worries. You have anxieties. You have questions. Well, when you probe Christ, you'll find he has the answer. He has the answer to all of life's problems. The Queen of Sheba, she made the long journey to Jerusalem. And after she arrived, she beheld the wealth and wisdom of Solomon. And whenever she beheld the king in all of his glory, her response was in verse 7, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. Behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. And I suggest to you that if you make that journey to Calvary's cross, that will be your response. You'll respond when you behold the king. You'll be able to say with the Queen of Sheba, the half was not told me. The half was not told me. The Queen of Sheba beholding Solomon. I trust the Lord will bless this word to your heart and soul this evening.